You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.
Bon dia, Manny.
Bon dia, Philip. What's going on, man?
Man, I've had a busy week this week.
Was it? It went like it flew by?
It flew by, but like, you know, we're doing a lot of training. Now is kind of the time to do a lot of training, or a lot of my clients are doing their training, their annual training.
Generally, that's the setup?
Yeah, the setup kind of goes around this
like time. Early spring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, January, February, March, you know, I get everything geared up for April and stuff like that. And we deployed that Triumph Health and Safety fall protection.
Yeah. How did that go?
And it was like 30 to 40 workers, probably closer to 40.
You were dealing with that many workers at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Intimidating?
No. No.
Were they receptive? Like, were
100%.
They,
you know, we
no
did,
dozing off? Like,
No. We did. So what we did was, I showed you on the last show, we did a custom fall protection training pack for them. And then the majority of, well, these workers specifically, English was all their second language. Maybe one or two English was their first language. And we did the training in English, and everyone followed in Portuguese and Spanish on their phones and on their tablets.
It basically worked. Your system worked.
Oh, yeah. No, it's tried, tested, and proven. But, you know, I think the best part about that whole training, and I really enjoy training, especially when, you know, because I relate with workers, right? You know, it's not one of those dry, boring trainings. But
that's why my first question was, everybody was sleeping, like everyone was dozing off.
It's tricky, man.
Safety, I've been in those rooms.
Of course. Safety is a bit of a dry topic. And if you got to sit there for 8 hours, or some of these, my clients, they do training for like
days,
weeks, you know, but they have a lot of workers. So one block, 1 week is 5 days of training.
You would need a defibrillator for me, man. Just like,
nah, man, you know, listen, learning about information that can save your life.
It's important.
It is important.
Yeah.
Right. And even with the case.
And save your coworker's life.
Of course.
Right next
to people
you.
Around you, and yes, learning about your duties and responsibilities, yeah, and, you know, the law and stuff like that. Right. But, you know, when I do these Portuguese translation, Spanish training courses and stuff like that, you know, a lot of people come up to me. A lot of the workers come up to me and they're like, Phil, thank you so much. I've been doing this job for 20 years or 15 years or whatever it may be. And I didn't know half of this stuff. I've seen it, but it's in English and I don't understand it. Right. And thank you. Like, thank you for, you know, teaching us in a language we understand. And for me personally, that's better than any award. That's better than any pat on the back. That's better than any plaque to hang on my wall. You know, it's very satisfying, at least from
you. Figure the government would jump on board and use all these different languages, since we have so many different cultures in this country. That's a different discussion.
Yeah. You know,
it's been hinted at.
It's listen, I don't know. That requires solving problems again. You know, it's
the government is not designed to solve problems.
No, they're actually designed to create them.
Designed to create.
That's it.
Exactly.
Right. And I don't know.
So it was good. That was good. That's pretty intimidating. I would take it as intimidating if I had to speak to that many people about specifics that could save your life.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Listen, it's you kind of ease your way into it. Don't get me wrong. I've been doing this to close to 25 years, right? And, you know, I remember at the beginning of my career when I started, you know, you're standing in front of five people to do a safety talk and you're like, you know, am I going to say the words right? Do I know them? You know, what happens if they ask me questions? You know, you get a little panicky there. But after a while, you start doing it so many times and, you know, you know the subject matter, right? So it's easier to explain. It's easier to communicate. It's easier to answer questions. And even like the guys on my team, you know, not all of them are like training is their skill set, right? So I push them and, okay, you're going to do this training. Oh, what happens if, you know, I say something wrong, or what happened? Then you say something wrong, man. Correct yourself.
Then correct yourself right at that moment.
Yeah. Like, you know, you're going to make mistakes, right? But the only way to figure out if you can do it or if you're good at it is to try. And even if you fail, try again, right?
And like you've said before on past shows, every scenario is different on a construction site. So you've got a foundation, you got a base on what you should be doing, what's right, what's wrong, what's the law and everything like that.
Sure.
But you're still customizing how to do a safety procedure that scenario, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of sector specific training, right? You know, employers, I think, fail to understand all the external training that they receive, you know, working at heights or whatever it may be, that's done outside of their little bubble there. You know, that only makes up maybe 25% of the training that these workers need, right? The other 75% is internal training, sector-specific training, you know, procedures, you know, employer-specific training, right? There's a lot of specific tasks that maybe only that employer does or that sector does, right? So, you know, a lot of safety training that gets done in this province is just general training. Right, working at heights, and we'll talk about the law, and we'll talk about
cover these, the basics.
Right, well, to cover the regulations and the applications and stuff. Right, but with this training, you know, we take a look at all the procedures. You know, we add in the law, we add in the sections, we add in a variety of different components that are standard, and then you start looking at the processes that these workers do. You start looking at the equipment that they use. You start looking at the scenarios that they're involved in. You start looking at the tasks they do on a daily and a repetitive basis.
Yeah.
Right. And you got to kind of train the work, not kind of, you need to train the workers on that specific information. Right. And this is, the, I think, the biggest challenge for a lot of employers. I have a 500-page health and safety policy and program. You know, how do I train the workers and get them to understand this? You know, that's the biggest challenge, even with our client. Like, okay, we have 500 pages. I'm like, great. You guys got all your certificates and everything for this health and safety program. Now we're going to chop it up. And we did. We chop it up. Take out all the fluff. Take out all the extras.
How much is fluff?
A lot of it, man.
Especially more than half?
I'll say more than half.
Really?
Yeah. Right? Because you got to jump through specific hoops to get certain accreditations. But is that information necessary or legally required?
I would go with the legally required part of it. They're just covering their bases.
They're not. It's not legally required.
It's not?
No. Yeah. So, for example, one of these accreditations, for every section, you have to create a policy. So the law requires a policy for your health and safety program. We at company ABC, you know, are committed to the health and safety of the workforce, and we will do this and we will do that, signed by the president, dated there, first page of the whole health and safety policy and program. But with some of these accreditation programs, it's like, every section needs a policy. We have personal protective equipment, and then you got to write a policy on the personal protective equipment. That's not required by law, right? And then, you know, a policy, a policy, a policy, a policy, a policy, a policy. All of a sudden, you got 40 pages of policy that are not necessary for the workers. The workers don't need that information.
Which just deters them from following through the real, the proper information?
Well, listen, I think this is where we start losing it, because a lot of safety comes from lawyers. Meaning this court case, man, you should have had this, you could have had that. If you had this more pile of paperwork with this more whatever, you know, you would have been better protected. So now you're exceeding and going beyond what's required of the Occupational Health and Safety Act. Right. But, you know, it's going really, it's that way. It's due diligence. You know, you're taking a hard right to due diligence. The more paperwork you have, the better due diligence you have. But we're going away from safety culture. And safety culture is a lifestyle choice. It's not about paperwork. It's about how your workers respond and treat hazards and implement controls and communicate and train. And, you know, it's a culture. That's why it's called safety culture, right? So you go hard this way to due diligence and you start leaving safety culture, that gap starts widening, and who suffers at the end? The worker.
The worker.
Yes, we filled out 10 pieces of paper, but
the worker still got injured.
The guy still got injured. The guardrails were still missing. Yeah. You know, you still didn't tie off. And I think that's the biggest challenge. And I think that's our entire safety, the professionals that create and come up with a lot of these ideas. I think this is not the downfall, but like, this is the gap, right? This is, if the workers don't understand, if it's 500 pages, who's reading that?
Do you get frustrated that it's actually a simple fix here, but it's not being simply fixed?
I think it's just approach. It's not about, maybe it is, but.
Because you're saying there's always been this gap, right? That there's this disconnect.
Yes.
So it's like, you know what the fix is. We know what the ingredients are to make this recipe or whatever, let's just do it. But it's not being done.
Listen, I'm a very strong supporter of simplified safety. Mm-hmm. Okay. We don't need to make it overcomplicated. You know, keep it to the basics. Stick to your foundation, your principles, you know, training, communication, verification, enforcement. And just keep on.
Simple.
Simple. And, you know, workers don't want a 500-page document. Just give us the meat and potatoes. That's it. I don't need all the extra stuff.
Yeah.
I just need to know how I'm going to stay alive at work. I just need to know about the hazards and things that can kill me. Besides that, you know, yay.
The super, the owners, they take care of the rest.
They
of
don't read their health and safety policy programs. I know, but
they take care of that portion of it. Let the workers be safe.
Listen, right? We're getting, and now a lot of it's going to come into focus because now it's production, safety, money, security, you know, economy. And, you know, you got a lot of different ingredients in the pot now. And will people be taking bigger risks to keep their jobs? Yeah. I think so. You know, will be people be doing things that they normally weren't doing just so that they can have money?
Yep. Yes.
Right? And if you start throwing those ingredients into the pot, risk goes up, probability goes up, a lot of variables start going up. So, excuse me. You know, it's going to, we'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, like I said, we especially with English as a second language and stuff like that. It
becomes
that,
challenging.
Not becomes challenging. It's challenging, man. It's really challenging as an employer. You know, you have a very skilled, excellent worker. But that worker doesn't fully understand all the regulations, the law, the hazards, the controls, etc. But you really like that worker because that worker is an excellent worker. They produce, right? So how do we address production and safety and kind of find the balance between that, right? And that's what it comes down to, man. But back to it, you know, it was really nice to hear the workers say those things. And it's not the first time when we do these types of trainings in multiple languages. And I think it's great. And
a lot of arms in the air asking questions.
Well, yeah, people ask questions for sure. But, you know, I think it's a lot of information. And when I do these this type of training or any type of training, honestly, I do it the way we do this podcast.
Yeah.
You know,
really?
Yeah. I just shoot from the hip. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're not going to put fluff on it. We're talking about things that can kill you.
Better off to tell the truth instead of sugarcoat.
Yeah. You know, even it's not, I don't even think it's about telling the truth. I think it's just about giving it straight.
Yeah.
You know, and being relatable. And, you know, I do these trainings for weeks and weeks and weeks. And, you know, it's exhausting mentally.
Yeah, of course.
Right. Man. And I feel for the teachers out there. I don't know how they do it day in, day out. And
plus, you have to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
You have to keep it because I could see it. You do the first one, you're all energized.
Yeah.
Do the 100th one.
Yeah. You're running out of juice.
Yeah.
You're running out of juice, right?
You got to keep it energized the whole time.
And especially when you do a course where the workers have already taken this course with you. So they already know how it's going to go.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's a good and a good and a bad thing. But, you know, it's a good thing because they know what they're going to get and they know that, you know, it's a little bit more engaging and interactive. So, you know, it's good. Right. But
then the regular boring ones, right?
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes my job is just to make sure no one falls asleep.
Just tap them on the table, man. Tap them on the table.
I guess it's like some people watching the podcast. I don't even know if they make it to the end of the show.
I think they do. I totally think they do, man. All right. So what are we going to, what are we going to talk about today?
What are we going to talk about? Just a bunch of random general stuff. First, we're going to be talking about some new safety equipment. I think I got,
Gear?
Some safety gear.
You're talking about chin strap hard hats? I don't care how you want to look at it. It's coming, man.
It's not coming.
PCL and Elston has already implemented it on their job sites, and these are two big builders in Canada.
That makes up 2% of maybe 5% of the construction. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
All it takes is politicians or lawyers just saying, listen,
legislation. We're going to do a whole episode on those hard hats.
On just the hard hats?
Just the hard hats, man.
Okay, do it after I do the show with Whitecap.
This one's nice. Like,
that's, I think, don't quote me, but I think that's $150. It's maybe $1,000 now that it's got the TCL sticker on it. You got to throw a safety. Priceless. You got to throw a safety one sticker on that.
Yeah, I'll throw an S1 on sticker on this. But say, like, this is a hard hat, a really nice one. But the first thing I would do is cut these straps.
But see the gel inside?
Yeah, like that's
that gel is designed so then when you do get hit, your brain doesn't rattle. It's the torsion twisting of both hemispheres of the brain that causes the serious injury.
Listen, helmets are
like used, this is serious design, man.
Yeah, to protect the worker. Types of designs. This isn't new technology.
No, I know it's been around for a long
time. Hockey helmets. You're looking at football helmets. You're looking at rock climbing.
Everything.
Everything. It's just the chin strap thing that throws me off, man. I can't hack it. It's just
I have the chin strap problem because of the beard problem, and I know that I don't know what the percentage is, but it's got to be about 80% of males have beards in the construction industry.
Maybe I don't know. I'm not.
I think it's high.
It's high for sure.
So and chin. They say that chin strap is magnetic and it's easy to come on and off with a beard. It doesn't catch the hairs. That's what they're saying,
Manny. The streets are going to decide whether or not those chin straps.
The streets are
going to decide whether or not the chin straps stay.
Exactly.
Right. That's so, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Let's take a look at. Let's jump.
You
want to
talk a little bit of what's going on news or anything like that?
Just politics.
Well, there's going to be an election someday. Whatever you vote, and it turns out, don't blame anybody else because you made that vote decision.
What are you talking about? It's all Trump's fault.
It's scary, and I'll leave it at that. But I did see an interesting, because we've spoken about AI. Elon was talking again about AI and how much the workforce is going to be replaced by his robots. And then the question became, what are people going to do? And he spoke highly about how the robots are just going to get rid of all the meaningless tasks. And I'm like, the question wasn't really answered. No. And I just pictured a society of people doing nothing.
I think it's going to be like that cartoon, man. That movie where, you know, they're all in the spaceship. Was it Wall-E?
Wall-E.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. The obesity and just...
Yeah, that's all machines are
taking care of everything.
Yeah,
right?
that's why...
Which was a little nerve-wracking. But yeah, this week's been an interesting week regarding what's...
Don't get me wrong.
Telenova.
Look, Carney?
Yeah.
I don't want to...
I got a knack of just leaving comments where it's capital F, space, capital K, Carney. That's it. And I'll wait until I get a knock on the door from RCMP.
Wow. Don't ask for it, man. Those guys aren't fun to play with.
But when did politics become about them and not about us? I don't think in our lifetime it's ever been about us.
No. It's about the problems and how we're going to solve the problems, but we're not really going to solve the problems.
But to have a liberal leader actually say that we didn't create this problem, Trump created this problem, that is unsettling.
One thing politicians definitely do not have is a sense of accountability. Period.
Look at he's in, you know, China Tire shopping like a regular person now.
Did you see him when he left that picture? He took the chair, stuck his tongue out. It was like a big F you to everybody, like, ha, and I'm taking the chair. Man, can't make this shit up. I swear to God.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, please.
But safety gear. So you want to start with...
But just on a side note, but just to wrap up the politics, have you seen the odds of and the Vegas sites?
It's disgusting.
The conservatives were set poised for a majority, and now all of a sudden Vegas is calling Carney as the winner. And Vegas, I feel probably between them and insurance companies, have the best odds and the best data and the best statistics.
I will say that Joe Santangelo from Tip Top Exteriors, he actually wrote a letter, and he's going to post it now on a to send.
Is that the tax one?
So he sent a letter because now they're coming out. It's just going to be tax on top of more tax, and it's just, what's the point of working, right?
Dude, we're almost at 50% of my year goes to the government.
I know. I saw that post that you did with the calendar, which made a lot of sense. I would just tell people, and I know a lot of trades people that have left this country because of these reasons. I would just tell people, whatever they're doing, look into you doing it the same way. And what I'm talking about is start putting your assets in blind trust. It's nice that you can be a politician and just your first day of office saying all my assets have been moved into a blind trust, so we can't discuss this now. Why would you move your assets into a blind trust?
Man,
what's the reasoning behind that?
It's the shell game.
I know.
It's just a shell game.
So whatever they're doing, you do it as an individual, whether your assets are a fraction of what their assets are, just start moving things to protect yourself. That's all I can suggest, but listen,
I'm not giving anybody financial advice.
That's not financial advice. You know? That's just like just start watching out for yourself.
It's the jungle out there, man.
That's all it is, man.
Right? But okay. I feel like the illegal immigrant problem has kind of solved itself. Not too many people at Tim Hortons these mornings.
Not if Carney gets in, because he's got a mandate of bringing Canada to 100 million population real quick.
It's hard to afford a life here in Canada, especially if you're starting up. And I think a lot of, you know, the illegals and stuff like that in the construction industry, especially with what's happening in the construction industry now, a lot of them just took off, man.
You think they left?
Yeah.
So do you think it's not that busy now, like that fiasco that we were talking about on previous shows, is because they've left or there's no work? Or both?
Both.
It's both.
They left because they can't afford it. And they're leaving because there's no work.
There's no work. Unless you turn to crime. See the two Toyotas that were in the shipping container?
No.
You didn't see that?
Huh.
Some random trucker got pulled over with a shipping container. They just said, can you open it up? Because there was nothing labeled on this container. Two brand new full-size Tundras. Steering wheels cut.
Ready to go.
Ready to go to Montreal. They're on their way to Montreal. What do we know in Montreal?
That's the port, and that's where it gets shipped out.
Guys are telling me they're seeing videos of Ontario-plated vehicles in different countries. They don't even bother changing the plate.
Why would you?
The truck still had the construction logo on the side of the door panel.
It's insane. How about in...
He got arrested, and now they're investigating.
How about in the UK? Did you see the trades people going and protesting because their tools are getting robbed out of their trucks so much that they, like, literally protested and fully just...
Well, yeah. I've seen broad daylight, their tools being stolen right off the job site, and the guys are running after them.
But UK, honestly, man, they're like two steps closer to the edge than we are.
It's apocalypse there.
That place is nuts.
To steal tools, we used to be worried about tools being stolen in the middle of the night when we're not there. Now they're just brazen enough to just show up on the site and just take it.
Even on Instagram, too, you know, some of the companies we follow and stuff, every once in a while, you know, trailer stolen, and they'll show the video footage of some guy stealing a trailer or a machine or vehicles. It's and there's another stat that came out. Toronto has a higher crime rate now per capita, higher than Detroit and higher than Los Angeles, higher than New York, some crazy stuff like that.
Higher than Los Angeles? Really? Toronto? I believe it.
I don't.
Did you see Ford got rear-ended?
No.
You didn't see him on the highway?
Oh, he's sideswipe or something. Sideswipe or whatever. OPP charged the other person and da 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 da.
Even if he was at fault, do you think he's getting charged?
No. No. Carte blanche, man. That guy, I don't know how many times he's got pulled over.
How do you make
drunk.
That phone call to the insurance company? How do you explain? Do you know who
he
I
doesn't
am?
Even make the call,
I
my
know.
Friend.
He just gets a new vehicle. Yeah, he walks into the dealership and he just gets a brand new vehicle.
Toss it. Get another one. Okay, let's start the show, man. Holy cow.
Holy cow. That was almost a half 20, hour.
We're 25 minutes in. We are not even on the
all right, safety
slide.
Gear. What do you want? I'm curious. I love safety
all
gear.
All right, let's take a look at this. A lot of people have sent me this harness, and thank you very much, everyone that sent it to me or the videos of this.
Yeah, because the flip over harness, right?
This thing's pretty cool, man.
It's very cool.
All right, let's take a look. So it's from Werner, Werner ProForm Switch Point Harness, self-rescue harness, and prevents suspension trauma.
Was that just released last year?
No, listen, this is really cool. Don't get me wrong. But this is just a variation of other sectors, like rock climbing and other things.
I know,
things.
But someone came up with this, right? Which is what I like.
Yeah, no, this is definitely, some...
It's a cool design.
Yeah,
it's cool design, and it helps you prevent suspension trauma, right?
Which is good. And again, I think something like this is probably not for everyday usage. I think something like this is for very
specific extreme
scenarios, such as you're working on a windmill or you're working on a bridge. Like if I'm on a bridge, like the Gordie Howe Bridge, for example, I'd want that.
Of course.
Right? Like you're hanging there. How are they going to get you from the bridge?
It's going to be a while.
Right? It's not... But a harness such as this, let's watch the video and then we'll kind of break it down. Because it's pretty cool.
To demo our Switch Point harness, and this is just another way to get out of suspension trauma. And if you watch, it'll happen really fast. I'm going to take this cord,
see that hard hat, man?
Pull it, and it's going to make the D-ring go from the back to the front. Strap. So here we go. Pull. And now I'm relieved from suspension trauma.
It's got that pull, right?
Yeah. No, it moves the D-ring to the front, which is pretty cool.
I can assist in my own rescue.
Man, what are you saying? It's really good.
And I'm going to demo now.
At least it's
the rescue kit.
Is it much more expensive than the traditional
harness? With 30 foot rope?
Yeah.
Twice or a lot more?
Well, are we comparing it to the Home Depot $99 in the bucket one?
Because there's a wide variety of harnesses, which are as cheap as $49.99. I think as
$99 comes with the life.
I've seen harnesses that are like $49.99.
The flea market?
Onto my rescue system.
And as you're buying your PPE at the flea market?
It's a clever design. It makes a lot of sense, but you're right, though. In specific work applications?
Yeah. Like when you use it. I'm working on the second story of a house and I fall and I'm tied off, right? And I have my harness. I set it up all correctly. Let's be realistic here. When am I going to be 5 feet off the ground?
A rock climber must have designed that.
Yeah, most likely, man. You know, but again, pretty cool in certain scenarios.
Of course.
Right?
Would you ever use it in low-rise construction?
I wouldn't use this in low-rise construction because, again, to save or rescue an individual that's hanging there, literally you're just pulling them up or getting a ladder and elevated work platform, cherry picker, whatever. There's a variety of shepherd's hook, variety of ways to, even on a high-rise.
I will say this because I did a show recently with two young framers and how they're being underbid by other fly-by-night framers.
It's happening and it's rampant and it's getting really ugly.
Who's to really blame in that situation? Is it the client who signs off on the much cheaper price or is it the trade for doing the work?
It's the liberals, bro.
It's Trump's fault.
It's Trump's fault. What are you talking about?
But the thing is, then he followed up and he sent me a picture of a job site near his home where it was a first story roof and they put two step ladders with a plank on top of it to continue framing on top of that.
Yeah.
Dangerous looking.
On-site engineering.
But then not even that's the worst part. I'm looking at the framing and the bracing and I'm like, that's just a house of cards. That's going to topple. And then the person who sent it to me, and I'm not naming names or anything like that, he's like, listen, for the most part, I just turn and I go. I don't pay attention. It's just shoddy work. But I go, I had to make a call. I had to make a call, and he called the MOL, and they showed up, and then they dealt with it, right?
I think it's happening more. Like I said.
You have to, because if someone dies, that's on your conscience now that you drove by, and like, that'll eat away at some people. Not politicians, but that will eat away at some people.
Yeah, no, for sure, right? Hey, you know,
it would bother me.
Right? Of course, if you saw something and you didn't do anything.
And then you heard about it in the news later on, right?
Listen, and I'm sure it's happened, right? But again, this is the environment we've talked about this on previous shows, man. There's a lot of things that we haven't dealt with for a very long time that are resurfacing, and that's one of them, man.
They're resurfacing because of the economy.
Because of Trump. But they're resurfacing because this is the environment that we're in. And it's conducive to some really crazy shit. And some really crazy shit's happening out there.
I just on a side note, but kind of relevant.
This whole show's a side note.
No. I was at a grand opening of a new facility, EBS. They're metal fabrication studs and they're building metal structures. They can build a 3,000 square foot home all in metal with cold roll with the unit right there, the size of a sea can, 2 days.
Wow.
Roof and everything. So I got invited to this event. The mayor of Barrie was there. Attorney General was there. There was a lot of bigwigs there. I roll in, right? And my first question is, where's the food? Because I like going to those events. No, I just walked in, right? But I was listening. There was a lot of photographing, a lot of pressing the flesh. There was a lot of everything. It was great. I was impressed with the facility. I was like looking at this facility and I was like, you know what? This is great for Barrie. This is great for workers. This is great for everything. There was a moment, and I don't know why this happened, but we went through the assembly process and I was impressed that not only is he cold rolling the 2x4s and the 2x6s and the rafters and everything like that, he's dimpling where the screws are going to go. So there's no head left when you assemble it.
Nice and smooth finish.
I was impressed by that because that machine does that. It actually makes the dimple. But then I get caught in the crowd of suits. I'm behind them as the owner of the facility, the CEO, goes, why don't you give it a try, right? So cameras are on the other side, and I'm behind these people, and the first person goes up to drill the first screw, and it's just stripped. It's just like, and the guy beside me just kind of turned his head a little bit and smiled, and I already knew what kind of face I had. And then I realized, oh, shit, there's cameras there. CTV and everybody was there. And I was like, did I just make the reel or something like that?
I hope so.
Because it was just stripping, you know, impact sound, stripping sound. There's two distinctive sounds there. And it was just went in. It was
sometimes it's fun watching it, man. You know, even like some of these politicians go to job sites and stuff like that, and all their PPE is shiny and everything.
Oh, yeah.
They got the chin straps.
Yep.
You know, yeah. All right. It's like it's like you took all the kids to work. It's ridiculous.
But on a side note, so yeah. I don't know if anybody sees me. It's just, that's how I react if I see some stripping going on.
I feel like I'd make the same face, Manny.
All right, back to this. All right.
Anyways.
This is a great idea. I do endorse this. I believe in it.
Sure.
In certain situations, for sure.
Certain situations.
It will help and save people, for sure.
Yeah, hey, listen, again, it has to be very specific. Well, it doesn't have to be. It can be for anything. But, you know, this works well in very specific situations. Like, again, the wind turbine. If I'm hanging off the side of a wind turbine, right? I know you don't like them,
I don't like them for safety and just like,
man, it is what it is.
It's scary when you see those videos, dude.
I post some really interesting ones, man. All right. Let's get into this, man, because the city of Toronto and the province and the government
Photo of Toronto.
It looks very nice. It
doesn't look corrupt or anything like that.
Yeah, that's the before and after photo.
Well, that's Photoshop.
Oh, yep. But a few announcements this week, right? $2.5 billion towards housing and the Housing Accelerator Fund. The city announced 4,800 rental units being built. We're going to be built.
In Toronto or the greater Toronto area?
I don't know.
There's 17 cities.
Olivia Chow announced it, so I'm guessing just Toronto.
Who's that comedian?
Sorry?
The guy who does the Olivia Chow?
Sorry?
The guy, the comedian, Mike Izzarita?
Ben Benakis.
I'm not going to do it.
It's a little overboard though, man.
No, it's not. It's bang on.
1,075 classified as affordable.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
The word affordable in today's times.
I don't know. But this is what boggles me the most. Like, why is the government doing this?
Okay, hang on a sec. So you're saying
The calculator.
I want to
get the glasses. Math,
right? No, I don't need the glasses for that.
We're good?
I can read those. Those are large enough.
I start putting big font for you, man.
So what is it? No, it's not. I can barely read that one over there, right? So it's like 2.5 billion.
2.55.
Man, that's a lot of zeros.
Hey, just round it up, man.
Basically, just
round it up to three.
What is that? That can't be right.
I think it comes out to 500,000, 540,000.
Yeah, that's 000. What I would, yeah. So 500,000 for each unit?
Yeah, but
what again, affordable home is 500,000?
Again, I think this, and I haven't really gone deep into it, but I think this has to do with financing, support. You know, it's going to be administered by the CMHC. Right, so it's a loan
another
program.
Non-for-profit organization.
Yeah, all these non-for-profits.
So here's my question to you. How does this work? I'm curious about.
I'm not exactly sure.
No. So the 2.5 billion is being pushed into the economy, but we know 1/3 of all housing costs go to development fees.
I think they're reducing some of the developing fees.
So is that development fee a part of that 2.5 billion?
I'm guessing that's what it is. Right.
So you're already taking on 1/3 off of them.
Sure. We're going to reduce the development fees for the builders, but since the city is addicted to that money. That money has to come from somewhere else. So the federal government will step in and backstop that money while they give the discounts to the builders. It could be something like that. It could be...
It's three-card Monty.
Yeah.
It's a shuffle.
That's all it is, right? But again...
But it makes the news because 2.5 billion.
Yeah, it's just a number, right? We're going to throw a big number at it and say we're doing something, right? But,
anybody talk about how Ford has the highest deficit ever of any premier?
I don't think that's important.
Okay.
You know, not at all. So or the highest debt or deficit.
Yeah, what?
But this federal, I think. See, the federal government has enough.
Federal.
Yeah. Oh, but the federal government's in debt too. Don't you know? It's all cool.
To the tune of a trillion?
No. Who knows?
No.
It doesn't matter, man. Just print more money. Just keep on, But this is crazy, right? Like, and we've talked about.
This is recent.
Yeah. We've talked about building a high rise building in 19 days in China. You think it cost them $2.5 billion to build that 40-story building?
It's ironic, eh? Because China owns Canada, and we're not implementing their techniques.
You're not far from the truth.
But it's ironic, isn't it?
I feel like, yeah.
Why not just implement their construction techniques? We'll speed things up.
I don't know.
Solving problems again.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
But you know, and what's crazy too is that the most homes ever, I think, on MLS for sale, homes and units and condos and stuff like that. So it's not the fact that we don't have a supply.
Oh, no, no. And people can't afford it.
No. And I don't understand how the government
thinks this is the solution.
I honestly don't think the government can even change the affordability of houses. You know, the interest rates.
You don't think there's going to be a bubble and it's going to burst and we're all going to level it out? You don't think that ever is going to happen?
It burst right in front of us, Manny. What's the unemployment rate in low rise? I'll say 75% right now.
I would agree. I would say it's definitely north of 50. Right? It's probably 60 or 70.
What was it on average? We build 180,000 homes a year in Ontario, or 120? Yeah.
1,000?
Yeah.
A year?
Yeah. And last year, that number might be off. We can double check.
Maybe a Google search. I don't know. That's just
do a quick Google search. Do a quick Google search.
Now I got to do all this research shit.
Holy cow.
What are you talking about?
I took 7 minutes to put this whole PowerPoint together.
No, you take a lot of time, and I appreciate that. I just come here, and I'm a spectator. That's all it is.
No.
How many homes were built? Is that what we're looking for? How many homes were built in 24?
I wouldn't say 24. I'd put 2021.
Okay.
What does it come out to?
Hang on a sec. I type with one thumb.
Fat thumbs, Manny.
You going far back to 2021? That's when things were kind of okay.
I think we should take a look at, like, you know, when things were okay.
It is saying, yeah, so housing construction starts in Ontario, province of Canada, peaked at 2021 when it reached the highest volume since 2011, while in 2019 there were roughly 69,000 new homes. That figure reached 100,000 units in 2021.
Okay, 100,000 units, so I was off.
Yeah, so now I'm just curious, 23.
I think the staff for 2024 was 10,000 homes sold, new construction, which is a massive, it's a 90% reduction.
This can't be right. They're saying 2023 total units. Okay, so multiples, single detached. So single detached homes in 23 was 54,616.
Okay, and then all the other ones?
Single detached, the other units are multiples. It was 185,651. Those are housing starts.
So that's all residential?
That's all residential.
180,000?
185,651.
I'm guessing that's counting high rise and stuff.
Single detached, yeah. Multiples got to be high rise. Has to be high rise, multiples.
It'd be threeplexes, fourplexes.
Yeah, but in total, they're saying 240,267 homes in total in 2023. Housing starts. That seems high.
267,000? Yeah.
240,000.
That's probably counting high rises.
Right? Yeah, that's what I mean. All the condo units, yeah. Right?
So, but still, listen, that's a massive. And let's say it is 240,000 for all residential. Right? What's it going to be in 2024?
It's going to be a fraction of that.
I'll say at 50? Least a 50-60% reduction. That's a lot of unemployment, man. And I don't know how they're still hiding these numbers, man.
They have to. You can't have insecurities in the government.
I know, but like, doesn't everybody else see what we're seeing?
I think you need a big, you know, that huge optometrist, the glass thing right underneath the Toronto sign. So everyone can see. Do you see it clear? Better or worse? Well, better or worse?
And even what Olivia Chow came on the other day and said, we are going to buy 17 fire trucks from Made in Canada. Did you see that?
No.
So it's part of the tariffs and the fight against the United States. So, they announced it. Oh, we're going to buy 17 fire trucks, Made in Canada fire trucks versus, I guess.
From where? Were they being made?
I don't know.
Who's making fire trucks in Canada?
I don't know.
Honda? No.
No. Peterbilt? That's American.
I have no idea.
I don't understand. I don't know either. But like, the first thing that came to my mind is like, why wouldn't you just buy the Canadian ones in the first place?
It's a good question, eh? I'm sure there's lots of talented people here, workers that could build those units.
Of course there is, right?
I did notice that they redesigned the school bus design.
How?
It's a new design now. The hood and everything's all new design.
They put seatbelts in there?
I don't know if there's I didn't see the inside. I saw the outside only. But it looks plasticky. There's a lot of compartments on the side. And
I don't know.
The nose is lower and the headlights are different. And I was like, hey,
remember
that, being the stop sign and the arm that comes out. Those are the two best parts of the school bus. Of course it is,
but people still ignore those, right? Ugh. That's a different safety thing.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so I think they're full of shit. 2.5. Yeah, they're just laundering money in front. Yeah, okay, I got it.
So I don't know.
Bids and tenders.
I feel like the government has a long history of affordable housing and projects, and
it's been on the radar for a long, long time.
We've done it. We've done it so many times, and you can see those.
It's been on the
failed radar. Complexes. Oh, man, right?
Now I need glasses for this one. Okay.
Okay. So, you know, we started jumping into this, and one of our clients is actually a township, and you know, we're building a whole bunch of things for them and safety and setting up their systems, and it's pretty actually crazy. It's interesting. And, you know, start getting into procurement packages and, you know, bids and tenders and stuff like that. And we start diving in, and, you know, some of our friends in the construction industry, like, emailed this one to us. And they're like, Phil, you got to check this out, man. You know, these are some of the requests coming in on the bids and tenders. And I'm like, what? So we were taking a look at it.
What's with all this Russia, Ukraine?
So this is a pre-qualification for design build services for the old Shiloh Bridge replacement. So they're hiring a company to come in and replace a bridge. But part of that package, look, the Township of Georgina's Council approved the following motion. Ukraine, Russia invasion, silence is complicity. Canada imports hundreds of millions of dollars worth of goods from Russia every year.
Can we just start with that first statement there? Whereas the country of Ukraine has experienced a premeditated, unprovoked invasion by Russia.
I don't even want to touch on it, but yeah. But yeah, federal government, town of Georgina supports Canada and the sanctions and blah, 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 blah.
What does this have to do with doing construction in the town?
Right here. Here it comes. Not purchased. So, and that effective immediately and until a time when the sovereignty of Ukraine is once again unchallenged, the town of Georgina will not purchase any products which can be easily, I guess the key word there is easily traced to have originated from Russia, and insist that any future contracts for services for the town of Georgina abide by these same limitations. And that upon confirmation that the Belarusian military is engaged within Ukraine, that the town of Georgina apply these limitations upon goods from that country as well. Can you imagine being a Russian Canadian having to read this, man?
Joe Schmo bidding, and now they can't because they have nothing to do with that.
They just got to prove that none of their stuff is Russian, I guess.
We get plywood from Russia?
I don't know.
As far as I know, all our plywood is either coming from Canada or the US.
You know what I know? I know that Canada and a lot of countries around the world put sanctions on Russia and then made a whole bunch of exceptions.
Oh, regarding,
what was it, Bombardier, they needed titanium or something, needed some metal from Russia. So they're like, okay, we're sanctions on everything except this, what we need. Oh, and the fertilizer. Oh, we need the fertilizer too, so no sanctions on that. Oh, and the oil. Oh, yeah, well, you know what? As long as it doesn't come directly from Russia, but it goes there and gets refined, and then it gets shipped to Canada, that's okay.
What does this have to do
with construction?
Yeah.
No clue. Zero clue.
I was having dinner with somebody. And there are certain companies that are hiring specifically Ukrainians, immigrants, mm-hmm. because they're being kicked back. The companies are getting kicked back.
Yeah.
But here's the part that I didn't like. I didn't relatively did not like that part. But what I didn't like is the worker is getting a free pass. Doesn't have to come in 5 days a week. Sometimes doesn't have to come in for the week. And they're still being compensated.
Rules for thee and not for me.
Yes.
Nah, I'm not a big fan of that.
But it looks good on their payroll, and then they're getting kickbacks from the government.
And listen, there's two sides to this coin, right? There's this the one side of the coin where as you're trying to help, you're trying to be proactive, you know. Especially when it comes to, you know, diversifying or different representation in the workforce and stuff like that. Like, I get it. But that's at the end of the line. You know, we're going to give these workers a pass because of they're Portuguese. Right? That comes at the end of the line. I feel like a lot of these things should just be implemented at the beginning of the line.
Yeah.
Which is in school and skills and trades and development and give everyone kind of an equal footing when it comes to skill sets and choosing their skill sets. And, you know, once you get to the end of the line, meaning I have my skill sets, I am applying to work, you know, that's at that stage should be based on your skill sets, not based on
you're Portuguese, so we need more Portuguese people, and so we're going to hire you because you're Portuguese. So
how does this, is this not a conflict of interest when we all know for a fact, can we all just agree that any kind of government contracts, there's backdoor deals happening to begin with? Certain companies are only allowed to bid, so they get the deal regardless.
I don't know if it's backdoor. They do it pretty.
Oh, it's right in the front door. I know. Yeah. They open up the storm door and they just like, voila. Yeah. But I just, like, it's a conflict of interest now because you're going to still tender it to the person that you are in bed with.
This is just virtue signaling.
That's all it is.
We're going to do
We look good in the media bite now.
That's all it is,
man. We're anti-Russia.
Is anybody actually going out there? So if the constructor or the whoever bids on this and says, we double-checked everything and we sourced all our material. Your truck
rolling up with a Ukrainian flag on it, that means you got the job?
Maybe. I don't know. Yay, Azov battalion.
Okay, well, this was just recently announced? Like it was implemented into...
I think this got sent to me last month. And shout out to the guy that sent this to me, man. Thank you. I don't want to say his name, but...
No, don't say any names because we don't need a knock.
No. So that's for this township. And again, a lot of these requests or hoops that you have to jump through to get the project have zero to do with safety, have zero to do with construction. Okay? Next one. This one's nice.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. This is an example from the city of Brampton.
This is okay. Oh, man.
Okay, I'll read it. I'll read it, man. We're not going
to
read everything.
But I want to read it to see if I can see things that I can pick at. Okay, go ahead. Read
Community benefits policy.
Don't read the whole thing. That's a lot.
I try to highlight it, but no.
Okay.
All right. So basically what the city of Brampton is saying here is...
Oh, you got the three guys in the hot tub.
Yeah, I put that one instead, man. I want to go retro. For this one, man. Community benefits policy to leverage the city's procurement of large construction projects to increase training and employment opportunities for Brampton residents, and in particular for Brampton residents who are members of equity deserving groups. The community benefits policy also contributes to the city of Brampton's goal of advancing reconciliation with Canada's Indigenous persons. So any project that's $5 million or more, groups that have been historically underrepresented. The city will have evidence to assess the outcomes of the policy through documentation and be better able to measure the social benefits of the city's investments in constructing and maintaining urban infrastructure amenities. This aligns with the goals, city's sustainable procurement, blah, blah, blah. Where are we? Principles. Advance the city's supply chain procurement strategy, supply chain diversity program. Further advances the city's commitment to equity, diversity, and inclusion. Recognize supports construction employers and their unions that proactively encourage diversity, equity, and inclusion in their recruitment, training, and hiring.
Can you tell me a specific note from a union that actually does that?
Oh, no. There's unions that definitely have an aspect to this.
Yes, but not specifically to that.
Well, they'll tailor some stuff to it, right? It's a nice soundbite, and it's, we're going to hire, or, you know, we're all inclusivity. I don't know, man. I mean, a lot of this is just soundbites.
So, I mean, what they're basically saying from the gist of what I get is that they want to hire local to build local in Brampton.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not a bad thing.
It's the same thing with that facility. It was Barrie. He's obviously hiring local people in Barrie. He's infrastructure in Barrie, and the work is being performed there, which is great.
Sure, and I think, you know, this is always what I said, community benefits.
There's a lot of letters there. There's a lot of...
Listen. There's two sides to this coin. Right. And the side to the coin is humanity and wanting diversity and, you know, making things balanced, but according to whose scale, I don't know.
You know, there's one word in that whole thing that I don't see. Skills.
No, I don't think so. Don't get me wrong. It's page 1 of 11.
No, so is the word skills. Tendering process.
I don't know. But, you know, it's an example of some additional hoops that the companies need to jump through, right? So you're bidding on this, you're going to be like, okay, so what do I do here? I got to build this community package or sustainable, what's the word, community benefits policy, right? And I got to hire and I got to show and I got to prove and I got to do this and I got to do that. And employers will do it for the money, right? So they'll jump through these extra hoops.
But it's a conflict of interest again because of the tendering process we know is corrupt. The company that's going to get it is still going to get it without jumping through these hoops, publicly speaking.
I don't know.
So does the government just announce this publicly, but then they still hire?
Again, these are the municipalities, the cities, the townships. These are little economies within a bigger economy. Yeah, these guys make their own rules. Like, we're writing a procurement package right now, you know, and the thought has crossed my mind to say, we will only accept ISO programs instead of ISO Core and other.
Yeah, which I disagree with as well.
Right. Same like thing. The thought has crossed my mind, but I'm not petty like that. But, you know, we're writing this procurement program package, and, you know, you have to take into consideration the council's thoughts, the council's mission, you know, what they want to do, what they want to achieve, how can they leverage the money versus attaining their goals and stuff like that. Right. So I understand it. Right. Is it fair? No, we're going to hire only these Portuguese people because they're a visible minority, and we're not going to hire these Italian guys because they're not a minority enough, even though maybe the Italian guys have the more skills.
Yeah, but that's what's going on.
You know, listen.
I disagree with it.
You want the money, especially money from the federal government and the Liberal Party. You want that infrastructure money. You're going to jump through whatever hoops, right? So the city will jump through whatever hoops the federal government lays out so that they can get the money. And then when it comes to dishing out the money, you have to, as an employer, as the constructor, as the construction company, you're going to have to jump through the hoops too. And this is how that narrative gets disseminated.
At the beginning of
these goals get achieved.
At the beginning of everything, wasn't it just legitimately like three or four tenders, three or four different companies were submitting their best price and what they provide for a service? And the one that had the best price and service got the job. Wasn't that how it was originally set up?
I think that was the, I don't know.
I don't know if it was ever implemented that way. That was the intention.
I think that's the intention, yes.
But that's not the case today.
I don't think that's ever been the case.
This is a conflict of corruption. Like, how do you...
No, Manny, listen, this is a well-meaning and well-intentioned thing to address certain societal issues. I get it, man, and it makes sense. You want to help groups. You want to help people. You want to help, and Canada, man, you know, we want to help people.
Okay.
It's the how part.
So you've got company A, B, and C that has constantly done work in Brampton.
Sure.
They have great relationships. They've delivered. They've done the projects. They delivered, right? Now they don't want to abide by this because maybe their workforce is all Italian, all Portuguese or whatever, right? So they don't want to abide by this. Now those company A, B, and C are not allowed to bid.
They might be excluded.
But now you're going to get a company D, E, F, and they're going to come in and deliver all this stuff, but then not deliver the service and the work.
What happens if they can deliver the service and the work?
Then if they can, then that's a competitive bid, which is great, wonderful. But now you're discriminating against the people who actually have proven themselves track record with the government.
Listen, we've talked about hiring for skills, and it's in construction. And construction is a different beast. And as much as everyone wants to say, no, construction stands alone.
Yeah.
When it comes to everything.
Yeah.
We see it. We leave that shit outside and we get to work and that's what we do.
We see it, yeah.
Right? And, you know, I think stuff like this just hampers. I think stuff like this discourages. But again, we're for enough money. Shit, employers will jump right through this and you're fired, you're hired. And you know what? This project's a $5 million project. So
we're getting it.
Yeah, whatever, man. Right? And that's the reality too.
Yeah, that's scary. I don't agree with that one. All right.
Manny, I know it's, I don't agree with a lot of things, right? But, you know, you have to look at the intention. You have to look at what the goals are that they're trying to achieve. You have to see the benefits. You know, you look at it from a few different perspectives. And, you know, on face value, you know, this sounds, I don't know, like, what's a visible minority? I used to live in Brampton. You know? I lived in Brampton for almost 6 years.
You're not a visible minority there. Well, now you are.
I don't know.
But
is somebody going around counting white people?
I have no idea.
Like, what's going on
no,
here?
No, they're definitely not counting white people.
I don't know.
They're like, counting white people out.
I think, you know, listen, I get it. We want to help people, right? But at what cost?
I'm just saying you're going to get resistance from the companies that have established great relationships with government infrastructure of these projects. Like, you set up a business and you've delivered, you built infrastructure, roadways.
If I was to take a guess how this thing would get sliced, they'll pay someone, a consultant, to build this thing. They'll say, yeah, we're doing this. And they'll drop a whole bunch of paperwork to support what they're doing and what they're saying.
But when the workforce comes?
And when the workforce comes, hey, well, the other guy called in sick, you know? And they
that's
just...
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Of course that's what's going to... That's what I would bet my money on happening. That's whether exactly it happens or not, happen. I don't know.
On but paper, they delivered.
On paper, you jump through all the hoops, but when push comes to shove, and all construction gets it done no matter
do
what.
Do they still sell hula hoops in the stores and
sell
stuff?
What?
Hula hoops.
Hula hoops?
Yeah. Do they still sell
yeah.
them? Kids, I don't see kids doing that. I don't know. Put hockey cards in bikes anymore. Kids don't... Road hockey needs to come back.
Right.
I'm not a road hockey guy. I don't give a shit. But I think they're the natural community speed bump.
How are we getting into kids from this?
I'm just hoops.
jumping through the hoops.
It just triggered me with hula hoops and then hockey cards and then road hockey. So I think all these things that were Canadian, that were just community-based, need to come back. Uh-oh, we got some redacted stuff. Okay, all right.
Workplace injury results.
In Cambridge, recently. This is January 28th.
This is the most recent one that they posted. But that's a big difference from January 28th to March.
You're always like, it could be a one at the beginning there. It makes it seven figures, but...
Stop trying to guess the zeros. All right, let me pull this up.
I can read that.
What happened?
What happened?
We broke everything.
Oh, there you go.
Technology has not been my friend this week.
I cut that out.
You always say you're going to cut it out, but you never cut it out, man.
I've been all the last, like, fuck, so many shows, man.
I can't even keep up with all the shows. Crazy. All right, background.
Okay, go ahead.
On December 1st, 2022, workers at an emboss station where layers of material are combined and embossed onto rolls noticed a defect mark on the finished product and were trying to determine where the mark was coming from. A worker entered the emboss station while the machine was still running to examine the roller surfaces inside the machine.
While the machine was still running.
While inside the running machine, the worker's gloved hand was caught between two counter-rotating rollers. These created a pinch point that critically injured the worker. Canadian General Tower Limited failed as an employer to ensure that a worker shall not be exposed to a pinch point on a machine as required by Section 25, Regulation 851/90, contrary to 25(1)(c) of the Occupational Health and Safety Act. Machines on, no lockout and tagout.
Yeah, why not?
Because they needed to see where the defect was coming.
How fast is this roller going?
No clue, but fast enough to obviously suck the guy in or suck his arm.
So visually,
in.
How can you inspect the roller if it's moving that fast to see if there's a defect?
I don't know enough about
lose,
this machine.
Did she, I don't know what it is. Did he lose an arm?
Did this worker get injured? Yes, critically. And based on the type of machinery that they're talking about here, I mean, we've posted videos of those rolling machines. You got two rollers going... And he probably, or he, she, got their glove stuck. And it's not like it's your finger. It's...
Yeah, you're...
You get sucked in right away, man. That thing is... right?
So whose fault is this in the beginning? If there's no lockout, no tagout, there's no nothing.
There could have been a lockout and tagout. It could have been a lockout and tagout procedure from one of those pages from the 500-page binder. You know, and the worker just didn't do it. It could be that the supervisor said, hey, go in there and check this thing out. Well, I got to turn off the machine. No, how are you going to find the defect if you turn off the machine? You need to keep it on. Just be careful with your fingers. Could have been something like that. It could have been that they don't even have a health and safety program.
I'm going to say 50,000.
Is that what you're saying? For this guy, this worker definitely had a crushed hand.
Yeah, for sure had a crushed hand. Probably crushed arm.
For it to be a critical,
yeah,
it has to do with the arm, so... Like a crushed finger won't be considered.
The sad thing is that machine eventually stops because of the material that's going into it.
Or someone hit the stop button. I'm, you know, maybe there was someone there beside me. It was two people there.
I'm going to say $50,000.
$50,000? Dun, dun, dun.
$175,000.
Manny, this is the first time where you've said a number and the number is actually higher.
It is.
Yeah.
That's still too low. I think it should be 1.75.
Well, sure. Why not? Why a billion?
I told you before. I'm Manny at a zero. Manny at a zero.
Apparently, someone wants to make a t-shirt for you that says that. I'm not even joking.
Manny at a zero. I'm telling you, the dude, like the person lost their arm, man.
I know.
Like that's.
But again, Manny, it's not always based on the nature of the injury or the result, right? It's based on due diligence and documentation and supporting and lawyers.
Who's really responsible here? That's why I was asking about the worker.
Everyone's responsible here, right?
True. I get the owner, the supervisor, the worker.
Everyone shares some, you know, level of responsibility here. You know, as a worker, would I go into a moving machine? Most likely not.
Have you ever come across a court case? I'm wondering if there is any files on this. Where it was the machine.
What do you mean? Like a total failure of the machine that caused an injury?
Yeah, that caused an injury. That's happened. There has to happen.
Sure.
Well, I mean, recently, the Walmart thing. The oven.
It doesn't necessarily mean that was a failure of the machine.
It could have been the worker. It could have been, yeah, we don't know.
I don't even know how that one played out, man. That one
I have no idea. It almost seems like it was just general murder. That's probably a CSI episode, right? Like someone set that up.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Because to open it up, it's not, I don't know.
I just always feel like, I don't feel like one person being injured, they lost an arm or any other part of their body. I look at it like the cause and effect to the family associated with that one person.
Of course.
That's why I add a zero.
You know what's crazy though, you know, I've seen so many of these and done so many of these, and you know, you start just, it becomes a blur a bit, you know, in terms of
you just desensitize. Yeah. I mean, like you just,
whether it's 1,000, whether it's 100,000, whether it's 500,000, do they pay it? Is it collected?
I also think that any worker who's injured critically, as part of the settlement that they receive, they should be doing community service where they speak.
That would be amazing. Manny, we're going
to. Here I am. I got a nub. This is what happened to me.
Oh, no, that happens a lot.
Does that happen?
Yeah. Even with, threads of life or steps for life. Sorry, what's it called again?
Threads of life.
Threads of life.
They do it on the people who are left, right? Because they lost their loved ones, right? But I'm just saying, if you survived the injury and now you should be, as part of your settlement, you should be speaking out and going to job sites and going to factories.
I feel like it's maybe not the injured worker that should be speaking out. I think it's the employer that be forced to do public
speaking. I think everybody responsible.
They send the employers to the schools.
Yeah.
And go do a speech on your failure and how it costs that worker's
life.
They'll
never do it, though.
That would be amazing.
I know, but they'll never do it.
No.
It's admitting fault.
Well, they're already guilty. They're already fined.
But it should be the owner, the super, and the worker.
How was he going to say it? It wasn't me. It was Trump's fault. Anyways.
Trump's response. So 175, yeah, it's still too low in my opinion.
But it's always too low for
it's
you.
It's always going to be too low. But I thought I was right with 50,000. I mean,
I know. That was more.
I was confident with that one.
Dude, this guy, let's say this worker got 3/4 of their arm crushed in this machine. Or let's just say they lost an arm. $175,000. Let's take it back a few episodes when we talked about the double fatality with a double critical.
Oh, yeah. And that was
$250,000.
That's a double fatality.
And double critical. Right?
Don't worry. Elon's going to have arms on this retail outlet. It's going to be on Amazon.
You're missing an arm?
Yeah, you're missing an arm?
Hey, that's Winter Soldier stuff, man.
You're missing an arm? Buy it.
Well, yeah, that's always been like that.
Give me the southern part of Italy arm. Give me a darker one.
The Sicilian arm, it automatically goes like this. Anyways, I think that's a wrap, man.
That's it? No more?
What do you mean? We're an hour in, man.
Yeah, we are. We're an hour in. We're
Come
good.
On.
Okay, no, that's good. All right, anything else? What are we talking about next? What do you want to talk about next? I like the idea that you want to talk about that. We'll be getting into hard ads in the future.
I don't know. I think it just goes with whatever the flavor of the week is.
Well, yeah, there's always drama going on.
Always.
I can't keep
always.
Up with it. All right, that's it.
All right, thanks everyone.
You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10 plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.